Within astrobiology discussions, the term habitable zone often comes up. There are several types of these general zones, but also special cases, such as ice shell moons, where life may be possible completely outside of a standard stellar habitable zone. With stars, this zone, also called the Goldilocks zone, is a section of space around a star where planets could be warm enough to harbor liquid water on their surfaces. Earth, for example, sits within the Sun's habitable zone. These zones vary by the type of star, so the habitable zone of a red dwarf star is very close in, due to how dim they are. As we deal with larger classes of stars, this zone is located further outward, and indeed, when the Sun swells to its red giant phase, its habitable zone will likewise migrate outward as well. There are also concepts such as a galactic habitable zone, where conditions allow for life and civilizations to arise in principle, but outside that zone, such as at the center of the galaxy, it becomes far less likely due to the harsh environment present there, due to the stars being more closely packed in. But there is now new thinking on yet another type of habitable zone, where the entire universe was once warm enough to support liquid water on the surfaces of planets, regardless of whether they were even near a star. In a paper by Abraham Loeb, link in the description below, he lays out the idea of a habitable epoch within the early universe. Very early, in fact, opening up the possibility that just a mere 10 to 17 million years after the Big Bang, it's hypothetically possible that some form of life could have had its genesis within the universe. The question here is just when the earliest stars formed and what happened after. The oldest stars we still see in the universe formed about 200 million years after the Big Bang. However, one of these ancient stars, called the Methuselah star, even for its age, appears to contain heavy elements, which would have been created in supernova explosions from even earlier stars than this. Also, quasars are seen to have metals in their spectrum, and other evidence pushes the date back to about 180 million years after the Big Bang when the first stars, conventionally speaking, formed. Planets would then come after that, as heavier elements are created by those stars. But there may be another way where very large stars and planets could have formed much earlier, involving the interaction of dark matter. If so, these very earliest massive stars would have produced heavier elements, pushing back the possibility of planet formation very early in the universe. If this was the case, then those planets could have hosted liquid water on their surfaces just from the warmth of the afterglow of the Big Bang itself. But this period would not have lasted long, only about 6 to 7 million years before things cooled off to the point that habitable zones around stars would have started to take shape, and the liquid water freezing on worlds not within them. It's anyone's guess if this is enough time for life to arise, but we do know that if Earth is any indicator, microbial life's advent on Earth happened essentially the very first moment it could. If that's standard, then simple life in principle could have existed just after the Big Bang, at least for a time. And if one of those early hypothetical planets happened to be within the habitable zone of its star to the point that it's still around and has maintained the conditions for life the entire time, then it could be, though probably a long shot, that there are planets with life out there nearly three times older than that of Earth. Imagine what an ancient civilization, perhaps approaching 10 billion years old, might look like. Thanks for listening. I am science fiction author and futurist John Michael Godier, currently planning a vacation of sorts. This coming June, in conjunction with astrotours.com, link below, I will be joining Paul Sutter, Fraser Kane, and other science YouTubers for the All Stars Party at Joshua Tree National Park. For details, visit astrotours.com. And no, I won't be driving the LeBaron cross country. I think it would make it, pretty sure. It only has 300,000 miles on it. But why put undue wear on the interiors? And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth exploration into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.